is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
If you could just stand with me and we'll sing number 353, Save, Save. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you. Amen. Let's take our handbooks again, please. 340. 340, my faith has found a resting place. In just a moment, on the second verse, we're going to have the choir join us in our seats, and we're also going to shake hands. While you're shaking hands, I want you to congratulate somebody. Calvin and Amanda Baker are expecting their first child. So Amanda's in the choir. She'll be coming down. Make sure you shake her hand, give her a hug, ladies. Congratulate them and pray for them. Would you do that? Let's stand this morning as we sing, 340, my faith has found a resting place. You're saved. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We had a great time this week. The staff, we went away for a few days and we went to a conference in Berlin, New Jersey. You'll remember the Clark family that sang with us last year. Pastor Clark, Brother Mike Clark was with us. His father and his brother are the co-pastors of the Solid Rock Baptist Church. And they put a conference on every year and invite pastors and staffs to come. And all the classes we took were wonderful. They helped our staff. And then the preaching services were just fantastic. Now, we learned some things this week. They said, the first night we got there, they said, we hope you didn't come just to get out. And they weren't kidding, because every service was about 4 hours long. And, amen. Amen. Let me tell you, when the 4 hours passed, you said, is it over already? It can't be over. Your hearts were so full. It was just a great time, an exciting time. We met a family called the Blunko family, and they sang a little bit and did some things. And so we booked them for next year's Chicken on the Grounds. It will be a blessing. Janet McPherson came right up out of her seat while they were singing. I've never seen anything like it. Praise the Lord. We had a great time. And we were able to be a blessing to Paul and Janet on the way home. We had snuck around a little bit and called ahead, and we got their grandbaby to meet us over at a restaurant. And so you should have seen Janet's face when that grandbaby walked in. So we had a good time. That was a lot of fun. Let me give you a few birthdays today. Yesterday was Spring Wilson's birthday, so happy birthday to Spring. Today, Carl Lamb. Is that correct, sir? Today? Now, our program, if we don't know the year, it defaults and it says you were born in 1900, but I don't believe you're that old at all. Dave Fett has a birthday this week. You could be an encouragement to him. Send him a card. That's on, that's tomorrow. Michelle Bousfield's birthday is this week. That's Tuesday. Melvin Dowdy on Tuesday. Austin Judge on Wednesday. Doreen Roberts on Wednesday. John Vanderplogue. Happy birthday, buddy. This week. How old are you going to be? 7 years old. Good. I tell you, we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and John and Chloe came down here, sat in the front row. He was the only one I could hear singing. He just sings right out. Praise the Lord. That's good. And B. Gordy is this week, August the 8th. And then Leah Vogel also on that same day. So lots of birthdays this week. Keep those in your mind and be kind to those people. And then also we have a couple of anniversaries. We have Gene and Leroy Broughton celebrating 59 years. 59 years. We praise the Lord for that. And then Ray and Deanna Kirkwood, 34 years this week on August the 8th. And so I think I didn't mention Gene and Leroy August the 4th. All right. Be Tuesday. And so remember all these people today. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our service. We have so many visiting pastors and preachers and missionaries today. We're so glad that you're all here. And we're going to try. We're going to hear in a couple minutes. We're going to hear from a couple missionaries that we support. We have another visiting missionary. We want to introduce him to you. But also we have a friend of mine, Steve Thiebold. And Steve and I went to college together a long time ago now. And we're glad that he's here. Pastor's in, is it Marietta, Ohio? And he and Jeanette are here, and we're so glad, and their family's here. Well, Steve, would you open us in a word of prayer this morning, please?
Our Father God in heaven, may you come to you, Lord, as your children. Again, thank you for the privilege of being able to say that you are our Father. We thank you for the church family that you have blessed us with, Lord. We thank you, God, for all of this because through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you already for the praises that we have esteemed to you. We thank you, Lord, for those who have gone out of their way to make this worship service very meaningful. We pray, God, that when we're finished with our time today, Lord, that God will be pleased that your children gather to worship you. Father, for those who are here who do not know you, Lord, who are yet to be able to call you their Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that God would open up their hearts, soften their minds to your gospel truth today. We just praise you and we say it together that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you as you give. We are glad to have more visitors with us. We're going to try to work them in throughout the service today. And we're going to have Bill and Joanne Dobb with us and their family as well. And they're missionaries to a creative access country. We're online right now, so I won't say where. And we know that you folks pray for them. We have a mutual friend, Brother Bill and I, and I've talked to him a couple times, and he has assured me that the Dobb family is one of the finest missionaries serving the Lord on any foreign field today. And I can see that in their letters and their heart for God. We're so thankful they're here. Brother Bill's going to come and sing a couple songs for us this morning. And so we'll invite him to our platform now. Brother, if you'll give us just a testimony a little bit before you sing or during your songs, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Frankly, we don't sing a whole lot in English, a little bit more this last year, but mostly singing in Arabic. And so I'm glad that you had the words on the screen, because I don't remember the words to most of these songs anymore, you know. It's wonderful, the blessed assurance that we have through him. This last year has been... has been an interesting challenge, and we've got to see some things come to fruition that we've prayed about for really a long time. And it's funny, sometimes when God does what you've been praying for, you trusted him, you believed he would do it, and when he actually does it, then you think, well, what do I do now? And we've been praying for the Lord to raise up a local man in our fellowship that would take the pastoral leadership, and he's done that. But we're praying through the process of what that looks like and how to help him. And meanwhile, another man graduated from the school we're in and went back to his home village in northern Africa, and has asked us to come. I've been able to visit him twice this year. He wants us to help him get a work started there. And we've been praying about that, too. I just didn't think it would happen for another 15 or 20 years. And so things go so slow there, but yet God has begun to do things. And so we're really leaning on him. And this is an old hymn, but it was really new to me because I didn't grow up learning hymns. Now I'm learning Arabic hymns. But this is an old hymn that's been around for a long time, but it's precious to my heart. It's one of the first ones I learned. And this is the way that I used to sing it as a brand new believer.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, I am leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, I'm leaning, safe and secure. All along, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus.
Amazing, the simple truths of just casting all your care on Him and leaning upon Him. When things get really challenging or difficult, you go right back to those truths. Lord, I prayed for this, and I'm sorry that I prayed for this because I don't know what to do. So you got to help me through it now, you know. I just kind of wanted to share with you some songs that I sang as a man, I guess a long time ago, 25 years ago, when I first heard these songs, I'd never heard them before. I remember being visiting a church. I was lost. I didn't know the Lord. And I would visit this church occasionally. Friends that were trying to reach me, tell me about the truth, took me to it. And at the end of the service, they would always sing this chorus, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." And I kept thinking, there has to be more to that song. Like, why did they just, who would write a song so short? But all they sang was the chorus at the end of the service and leave. And I always remember thinking, boy, I wish the things of this world could go, strangely dim for me. I wish I could just forget about all these problems. And the truth is, when you turn to Him, you can. And as we're helping this brother in North Africa, start a work there, he said in the city he lives in, he says it this way, "Kulul khataya fil kulul masr, sakin fil maghara." And what it means is all of the sins of that country reside in his town. And when we talked to some of the other men in that area, they agreed with that. They said, yeah, it's a very difficult area. And, but what he's doing is just turning people to someone they've really never seen. They've heard about him, heard about Jesus, but not described as who he really is. And when they turn and see him clearly, he does the impossible and turns his enemies into his children and his ambassadors. And so that's really all we're doing is turning people's eyes to him. And as we turn our own eyes to him every day.
No soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely did. In the light of His glory and grace, His word shall not fail you, He promised. Oh, just believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Then turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of His glory and grace.
A chorus in Arabic for the kids so they can hear what it sounds like.
A chorus in Arabic. Just so happens that I have a course in Arabic. For the kids. The adults, you're welcome to. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming today. We're just going to sing. Or did you mean the adults to stay? Never. I'm sorry. Come back. Yeah, this is one of our favorite ones. It goes like this.
Ner fao ka fao ka jami wahda ka malikul azi ner fao ka fao ka kulillah wanati نجود في خشوع and we come to you and worship you in awe.
Appreciate your service overseas and thanks for that family giving their lives to go where we cannot go. So pray for them, support them. Amen. Thank you. We're going to have Brother Jeff Roberts come. Brother Jeff, would you just come and give a testimony? I know I haven't told you. I warned you a minute ago, kind of. Pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. We should mention that these are all children and of the Roberts, Jim and Marilyn Roberts so far. Brothers Steve and Jeanette and Bill and Joanne. And now Jeff and Laura Lee and all their families are here. And I want to say this also, that they have two other daughters, Judith, of course, and Craig, and then Jennifer. And I know this, not everybody knows this, but I know this, that Judith and Jennifer support these other ones like you wouldn't believe. Prayerfully, financially, they help them. And we're so thankful for it. I want to say this, that doesn't happen by accident, church folks. If you want your children to serve the Lord, you have to train them to serve the Lord. And so we're thankful for the good example the Roberts have set for us. And let me say this, growing up here at Bethel, I don't remember coming to church where they weren't here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, special meetings, revival services, funerals, weddings, everything. They made sure their kids were in church. And now they're all serving the Lord. And we praise the Lord for that. And so that's the pattern. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but so much the more. We need it more today than we've ever needed it before. So bring your kids to church. Don't send them to church. We send our kids to church on the buses sometimes. Bring your kids to church. Be with them. Pray with them. Teach them. Brother Roberts, we're glad you're here. Would you give a testimony this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Terry. Glad to be here today and to be in the part of the service this morning. And just want to say thank you for all your prayers and supporting us, Laura Lee and I, and our family in Sault Ste. Marie. And just keep praying for us. We appreciate that. And we need your prayers. We've had a young man help us for the past 3 years. His name was Justin White. And Justin got a girlfriend. But she wasn't from Sault Ste. Marie. She was from St. Thomas. And so Justin fell in love. And he's got to come back down because she can't move up there. And she's leaving. He's leaving to come back and pursue that relationship. We're happy for him. He faithfully served us. He faithfully did whatever I asked to do. And actually, he's preaching this morning while I'm here. And, you know, that's a blessing to have someone take your place that you can trust and just fill in that place for you and get away. But we're going to miss Justin. And you pray for him. Pray for Justin as he comes here back to Southern Ontario, helps out Pastor Stone there at Bible Baptist Church, and he takes the next step of his life. But the Lord is good because he did send someone to take his place. And actually, on Monday morning, I'm meeting up with him and his family, and I'll be driving their U-Haul truck, Jeremy and Jennifer Witte, up to Sault Ste. Marie. They're moving in on Tuesday, and they're going to be a blessing to us, and we're looking forward to that. So, you know, it's interesting how God works. God takes care of you, and he brings the people in your life, and he takes them out, but he's in control, and we can always trust him. And that's why the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's got everything in control, and so we can just rejoice. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being there for us. And may God continue to bless the Bethel Baptist Church.
Thank you, Brother Roberts. Amen. Brother Roberts is an inspiration to me. Look how good a shape he's in. Amen. I won't tell you how old he is, but he taught me Sunday school when I was a little bitty boy. Amen. You're looking great, Brother Roberts. That's good. We have another missionary couple here today that's just kind of passing through. Their brother Calvin is helping them with their missionary deputation video. Have you started having some meetings yet? Not yet. In September. They're going to be with us in our missions conference in February next year, so we're looking forward to them. This is Joel and Holly Buckingham. And so why don't you stand in so we can see what you look like here, your wife, Holly. All right. They haven't had too many meetings, so they're a little shy yet. They'll have to come out of that. Brother Joel, why don't you come on up and give us a testimony and share with us what you're going to be doing. They're going to New Brunswick to plant a church. And so how many of you understand Canada still needs more churches, needs the gospel? So we're so thankful. Brother Joel, you come give us a testimony.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity just to mention to what God's doing in our life. And we are Joel and Holly Buckingham. And we know Brother Calvin and Amanda Baker very well. I went to college with Calvin and spent many good months in a dorm room with him. And not only that, we worked together after college, so we were together all the time. And Brother Justin White, I went to school with him, a great young man. And so I told the teens this morning, the teen Sunday school, I said, if you want any dirt on Mr. Baker, just come talk to me after service. And with the right amount of money, I'll let you know. And so, anyways, he's a good man. Brother Baker, and he's going to be helping us with our video today and onward, so we appreciate that. But the Lord saved me and my wife at the age of 5 years old. We both grew up in Christian homes, solid Christian parents. I'm thankful for that. I grew up in New Brunswick myself. Holly grew up in just past London, Ontario. In fact, her and Amanda went to Harvesters Baptist Church. Pastor Doug Wood grew up there together, and so they're very good friends as well. But God has called us to plant a church in Campbellton, New Brunswick. And you can't go any farther north for a city in New Brunswick. It's up right across the Restigouche River, across from Pointe-à-la-Croix, Quebec. And, of course, Quebec is a very needy area. The northern New Brunswick is much like Quebec, very Catholic, very French, many Acadian people. And my grandfather, in fact, grew up in that area. He was an Acadian. And so the Lord has burdened our hearts for a while now about Campbellton. We've been serving in Royal City Baptist Church in Guelph, Ontario, for the past 3 years under Pastor Wayne Bodway. And he's been a great help, a great teacher. He's a faithful man. And so they're going to be our sending church. And what a wonderful thing it is to trust the Lord with our lives. And I encourage anybody here, encourage the young people this morning, give God control of your life. serve the Lord with your life. Don't get pulled in with this world. It's just a short-term investment if you're going to go with the world here. But invest in long-term gain. Serve the Lord with your life. He'll never fail you. He will be faithful. And I just want to read a quick verse from Romans chapter 10 this morning. As we think about church planning, winning souls for the Lord. Romans chapter 10, and of course this is a chapter Paul really had a desire for his own people. He loved his people, the Jews in Israel. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And I believe one of the greatest tools that Satan has used down through the years has been religion, the tool of religion. And many people's eyes have been blinded. And I think especially at the top of that list is Roman Catholicism. And where Holly and I are going to plant a church is very Catholic. There's no independent Baptist churches up in that area at all. Campbellton is a city of about 8,000. Rustigouche County is 35,000 people. And, of course, you got Quebec right across the river, all highly Catholic people. And so I want you to pray for us. It's a very hard area, spiritually very dark. Pray that the Lord, the gospel will go forth. And I know the Lord says all we need to do is be faithful in preaching the word of God, planting the seed, watering that seed, and God says that he'll give the increase. It's God who builds his church. And so just pray for us. Pray that we'll stay faithful. Pray that even when the hard times come, that we'll lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord. And we'll be looking forward to being here in February with you folks at our missions conference. While these next months go by and as we prepare for deputation, I just pray that God will give us safety on the road and that all our preparations will go well. So we thank you and God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Buckingham. Let's do this morning. I'm going to have Joel and Holly, if you'll come up to the front, Holly, and join your husband. And then Steve and Jeanette, why don't you come on up. And Jeff, and is Laura Lee here? No, she's working. All right. So Jeff, why don't you come on. Brother Roberts, Pastor Roberts. And Brother Bill and Joanne, come on up. And just spread out, and then let's have some folks come pray with them. Just come on up and join us. Just step up. I know you didn't come to church to pray, but come on up and let's pray over these folks this morning. Just step out of your seats. Everybody move. Let's stand up. Let's all stand. And then some of you just come on up. Just come on up and go to somebody. Let's gather around them and pray this morning. And let's try to be a blessing to these folks. And don't be afraid when you come on down. Come on down. We need more men. All the deacons, men, wives, come on down. Just come on down and let's pray with them this morning. Everybody's afraid to move. All right. And don't be afraid to ask them if they have a need you can pray for. But let's just take some time and pray with each of these families this morning, all right? All right.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful today to have so many of our friends here that are giving their lives to full-time service. Pray for each one of these families represented here today. We pray that you bless them as they go back to their respective fields. And we pray that your name would be glorified, that you would draw sinners to yourself, that folks would be saved. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that can still be preached today, can still change lives. And every one of these folks go to a very different field, but we know that the Word of God stays the same. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's the remedy for any problem in any culture. So, Father, we pray that they'd go with boldness, preaching the Word of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you.
Last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as a shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside a tideless sea. The light of God was on its street, the gate was open wide, and all who might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new
All right. We're just going to go ahead and change some things this morning. We've already changed half the service. We'll just keep the kids here today. We only have a few minutes, and so we'll keep you. If your mom or dad or grandma and grandpa are here, we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And while we're singing, we'll have you go sit with your parents and grandparents. Okay? Can you do that for me? So everybody, all the kids stand up. All right, stand up and go find your parents and grandparents. You can sit with them, and then we'll start our preaching time. So let's sing.
Jesus loves me.
John chapter 6 this morning, John chapter 6, we've been looking at portraits of Christ from the book of John as on Sunday mornings, and we've done about a dozen sermons already, and we're only in John chapter 6, but we're not in any hurry either. John chapter 6 this morning, the passage is verses 15 through 71. Now, I'm not going to read them all, we're not going to preach on all of those verses. But this morning we're going to look at Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life. As a matter of fact, we will skip over a little bit. We won't start in verse 15, and I'll give you a summary of that in just a moment. But I want you to begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." I want you to notice that the people that were following after the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, and this is just on the heels of it, just the very next day. And Jesus recognized the condition of their heart. They were looking more to satisfy the physical need, the temporal need, than they were the spiritual need. So he says, "You're here because I fed you, not because of the miracles, the spiritual things I did." Verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." How many of you know if you eat, you're hungry again in just a few hours? Isn't that the truth? I've come away from meals before, and as we traveled, we got to eat at the Cracker Barrel. Not once, but twice. Man, I like the Cracker Barrel, and they got good meals. But they bring you have you ever had the Cracker Barrel sampler? It's a sample plate, but they give you a big piece of meatloaf, chicken and dumplings. They give you three sides, so you can have three different vegetables, or you can have French fries or mashed potatoes. And then there's a sugar honey ham on this there. I mean, it's a platter. You can't eat it all. And I come out of that, and I thought, boy, I'm never going to eat again. 4 hours later, I was looking for another Cracker Barrel. And so, that's what the Bible's talking about. It says, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They're still missing it. Jesus answered some of them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believeth thee?" The Bible says a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The Jews always require a sign. "What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." They said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me
shall never thirst. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so thankful and grateful to be in the house of God, Lord. And I've enjoyed hearing the testimonies this morning and seeing old friends and being encouraged that there are others serving God. And Father, we pray that you'd bless these missionaries and these pastors as they continue to preach the Word of God in their areas of ministry. Bless their wives and families. We pray that you'd use them for your honor and glory. Father, help us now to settle into the Word of God for a few moments. We pray, Lord, that it would help us, strengthen us, encourage us today. But Lord, maybe we need to be challenged as well. So I pray that it would accomplish that work as well. Father, we pray that you would fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I surrender to you and I desperately need your help today. And we desperately need to hear from heaven. So speak to us, we pray, through your holy word. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was becoming increasingly more and more visible. The miracles that he was performing and the works that he was doing. The first 14 verses of John chapter 6, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 with just the five little loaves and the couple fishes. We know that God wrought a great miracle there, but I wonder in my heart how many people actually saw what happened. If you'll read the scriptures, the Bible says the disciples gathered around that little basket of food and they prayed and then they began to distribute the food. And I wonder if people way in the back even knew what was happening. I wonder if they just didn't say, well, hey, wonderful, they brought food. They may not have known where it came from. They may not have realized the miracle that had happened. The Bible reads a little bit about that as we look in verse 12. It says, when they were filled, he said unto disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Some have said, well, there was enough there for each of the disciples to take a basket home with them. The problem is they weren't going home. They weren't going anywhere. I believe that the 12 baskets likely represented the 12 tribes of Israel and how God was reminding them how he fed them daily, each and every day, for 40 years in the wilderness with his bread from heaven. That leads us right into Jesus Christ being the bread of heaven at the end of the chapter. But I want you to notice just something that caught my attention as I read verses 12 and 3. Jesus commanded them to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And the next phrase in verse 13 says, therefore they gathered. Therefore they gathered. Friends, we need to have a desire to get everything that God has for us. Jesus was saying, I just wrought a great miracle and there's a lot of food left over. We don't want to lose any of it. We want to hold on to it. And so go and gather up all the fragments. And through this miracle, they're able to see how much bounty God had given them, how much he had blessed them. Now, we often hear that, don't we? We'll hear people say, well, I want all the blessings that God has to offer. I want everything that God has to give me. And I think that's a good concept. I think that's a good thing. I want to be blessed of God too. I understand that I can't wake up and breathe tomorrow morning if God doesn't bless it and God doesn't ordain it, because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. It's an appointment. But friends, I think we want to need everything from God as well that maybe doesn't taste so good. We need more of the Word of God today than we've ever needed it. We need more truth today than we've ever needed. Boy, truth is in decay in our society, isn't it? All evil, good, and good, evil. We shouldn't be surprised by that, but we are living in those perilous times that Paul spoke of to Timothy. That perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful. The Bible says that's the day that we are looking forward to, but friends, I'm here to tell you, it is here today. We need to hold on to the things that God has given us. And so he gives us this example and he says, listen, don't lose anything. And so they gathered it all up. Friends, we need to hold on to what God has given us. We're going to need it like a life preserver in these last days. So many people today, they kind of seem to stray away from church. I'll give you that verse I said a few minutes ago. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling selves together as the manner of some is. We're getting close to those end times and people are falling away, but we are to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's an encouragement when people come to church.
You know, I was always blessed. I get up here and we sit on these chairs and we can kind of see what's going on in the auditorium. And I got to tell you, when Pauline Spencer was sick and she's got cancer and she's 91 years old. And when I saw her sitting on the back row, I go, oh, man, that's wonderful. She has, man, she's faithful. That's what the Bible talks about when it says exhorting one another. We had a dear lady in Hamilton, Mrs. Antonoff, 95 years old, never missed a service. She'd come, and one day I said to the ladies, they had a ladies' prayer group at her house, and they'd go on Tuesdays and pray. And I said, how'd your prayer meeting go today? And she says, oh, it was terrible, another lady said to me. I said, why is that? She goes, well, because her pears are ripe, and she wanted to get us some pears. So at 95 years old, she climbed to the top and stood on the very top where it says, do not stand here, on the ladder. She stood on the top of that ladder picking pears. She said, we were so scared she was going to die. This was just a faithful lady that will love to be a blessing to others. Hey, that exhorts people when you just show up. That encourages others when you go to church. And we need that more today than we've ever needed it to before. Hey, that has nothing to do with my message. I just saw that in there. Amen. Now, after the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, the Bible says that they desired to make Him a king. Now, there are 71 verses, so I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing to get you up to where we need to be. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was not yet His time, and of course, that wasn't the plan of God in His life at that time, and so He departed into the mountains, but He said to His disciples, get you into a boat and go over to Capernaum. So the disciples did just that. And the Bible says they got off about 25 or 30 furlongs and a great storm arose. While they're out there tossed on the sea, Jesus Christ came to them. We see this account in several Gospels. And as He was walking, they were afraid. I got to be honest with you, I'd be afraid too. If I saw somebody walking on the water. Now, you might expect somebody to be bobbing in the water and fighting for their life in a storm. And maybe you come alongside and you think maybe it was another ship had sunk or something had happened and you have to help somebody. But not to see them walking across. And another passage of the Bible says they thought it was a ghost. Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And Jesus stepped into the boat. And the Bible says in the book of John, when He stepped into the boat, immediately they were in Capernaum. Other passages tell us also the sea calmed the moment He stepped into the boat. Well, this confused a lot of people. There were the 5,000 men and their families that were on the other side, and they were looking for Jesus. And they knew that He had departed up into the mountains, and they saw the disciples get into the boat, and they wondered, where did Jesus go? The next morning, they must have been looking around, and they couldn't find Him anywhere. And some came back from the mountains, perhaps, and said, well, He's not up in the mountains. We kind of followed from a distance, but we don't know where He went. The Bible says somebody spoke up and said, well, there were some boats from Tiberias that came near here through the night. Maybe He got one of those. We don't know. So they decided to go to Capernaum. So they all jumped in a bunch of boats and they began to go across. And they got to Capernaum. Maybe some walked around a little bit, several miles. As they got there and they found the disciples, they found Jesus also. And they began to look around and thought, well, how did He get here? Jesus never answered them. But He begins to address their spiritual need right away. In verse 26 is where we pick up the story. And it says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus begins to reveal their hearts. I'm just going to give you two things quickly this morning. I have some sub-points, but just two main points. The first thing is I want you to notice the nature of man. The nature of man. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows your heart? Do you know that? Maybe somebody here this morning thought, you know what, I'll get dressed up and I'll put on a tie and I'll put on a jacket. I'll put on my best dress. I'll shine my shoes. I'll brush my teeth. I hope you did. I'll comb my hair. And I'll go to church and everybody will just think, hey man, what a great Christian. They're always in their place. But God's looking at your heart right now. Well, that's a lot different than just looking on the outward. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Years ago, we had a lady that was in our church and she came in. I'm going to be honest with you. She was modest, don't get me wrong. But she wasn't the best dressed lady. She didn't have a lot of money. she just struggled in life, and so some of the ladies tried to help her and things. But I said to Pastor Masker one day, I said, I tell you what, I'll take her because of her heart for God over somebody who knows how to tie a tie right and somebody who knows how to dress. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we judge a book by its cover. Sometimes we see somebody singing in the choir and say, oh man, what a heart for God. We see somebody get up and sing a solo and we think, man, I wish I could be like them. I wish... Hey, don't look on the outward appearance. You want to get to know somebody? Get down and pray with them. Boy, that's a good way to get to know somebody. Spend some time in the Word of God with them. Because, listen, if you came here this morning thinking you're fooling somebody, you can fool me all you want. God is looking at your heart right now. God searcheth the hearts of man. Romans chapter 8 says the Holy Spirit searcheth the heart of man. He prays for us because we know not how we ought to pray. God is searching your heart right now. And Jesus said, I know those, first of all, who labor for the flesh. Who labor for the flesh. Look, it says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you eat of the loaves and were filled. He says, you're seeking the flesh. You're coming here because what I've done for you feels good. Takes away your hunger. It's temporal. It's temporary. It doesn't last. And he says, I want you to labor rather for the meat that perisheth not. He says, you're just here because you're working to serve the flesh. He says, God searches our hearts this morning. He knows who's serving the flesh. Choir member, he knows when God was looking through your hearts up here this morning, he knows which one of you were singing for the Lord and which one of you were saying, hey, look at me. I'll sing a little louder because I need to bless these people with my wonderful voice. I'll drown them all out. Hey, friend, let me tell you this. Coming to the house of God is not about you. It's not about you. Some people say, well, I don't like those songs that we sing sometimes. Hey, we didn't sing them for you. I don't like the way so-and-so prays. He wasn't talking to you. He was talking to his Father. And we can still work up. Can I tell you a little secret? I'm going to be honest with you. I can't. There's a couple hymns in the hymn book I don't like. But I sing them anyway. Because it's not about me. It may be a dried up, dusty old tune from 300 years ago that just doesn't do anything for me, but the message is there, and God is blessed by it. And so we'll pick that song and we'll sing it sometimes, and people will look at me and they'll stare at me and say, preacher, why'd you pick that old song? Because God is honored. It's not about me. I don't always like them. But I know there might be other people that get blessed by it. Hey, we got to be very careful not to come here to try to satisfy the flesh. Not to come here. We come to church based on all the wrong things sometimes. Now listen. I like coming to church I think you ought to have a good time in church. Having a good time is different than having fun. You understand what I'm saying? I think we ought to leave church saying, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. I think it ought to be. I want my kids to come to church and say, hey, that's the best time of the week for me, is going to church. I enjoy that. I want to go to church and be blessed this morning. But let's not come here to satisfy the flesh. Because listen, friends, if you come here to satisfy the flesh, that's all you're going to satisfy. You won't satisfy a holy God. God is not amused or pleased by the works of our righteousness. The Bible says they're filthy rags. We are here to please God. Those who labor for the flesh is a self-gratifying effort, but it's also a short-sighted effort. Look at verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath the God, the Father, sealed. Let me ask you this morning. How many of you go shopping for groceries at a regular time? Maybe every Monday you go grocery shopping, or every payday. Has anybody got a pattern like that? No? We used to do that. One time we got a phone call, and my wife didn't realize till after, but somebody called us and said, hi, we're just doing a little survey. They said, how long have you been married? We'd only been married a few months. And so they said, we told them, they said, so when was the last time you purchased a TV? She says, oh, we just have this old little 13-inch TV. It's something was given to us. It's old. Okay. When did you buy a VCR? Kids, you know what a VCR is? Okay. A VCR. She says, well, we just got married, so we got one for a wedding gift. Oh, okay. When did you, and they asked us all these things they bought. Then they said, when do you normally buy your groceries? She says, well, usually on Monday nights we go and get our groceries. And she got off the phone, she's telling me, I says, so you just told them we have a new VCR, a new TV, and we won't be home Monday night. She went, oh. Well, you got to be careful of those things. But you know, we go grocery shopping. We used to try to go on a weekly basis. We go pretty regular. How many of you do this, though? How many of you go grocery shopping for every meal? That seems foolish, doesn't it? We don't go to the grocery store and say, well, what are we going to have for supper? And walk around and get a few things. Then we go back later and say, well, we've got to get some things for breakfast and get a few things. And we need something for lunch and get a few things. No, normally we go and we try to... It'd be pretty short-sighted just to get for one meal, wouldn't it? It's not very good planning. Well, that's what Jesus is telling us. He says, hey, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. He says, you're worried about one meal at a time. Rather, labor for the meat that'll have eternal life attached to it. You're being short-sighted in this. You're so busy trying to gratify the flesh, it's not going to last you. It won't get you to heaven. Rather, labor for the meat that perisheth not. So Jesus is looking at the hearts and he sees the nature of man and he sees those who labor for the flesh, but then he also sees those who live for fame. Those who live for fame. Look at verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Understand what these people are asking. Hey Jesus, we want to do these miracles too. Look at the thousands of people that are following you. Isn't that wonderful? If we could do some miracles like that, maybe we'd have a following as well. And Jesus, you're famous. And listen, all you had to do was set up camp and start preaching and thousands of people came to hear you preach. Let us do those works. There was nothing spiritual here. They were laboring for the flesh. And now they were laboring for fame. What shall we do? You know, so many today desire to meet with God, earn salvation, worship, etc., all on their own terms. It's all about them and it's not about the Lord. That's what these people were asking. What can we do? What can we do and how can people look at us like that? The Bible said that the last days there would be a falling away. Paul told Timothy that people would heap to themselves preachers having itching ears. The Bible is rife at warning us, as John said to the Laodiceans, that they would want their rights, but they would have lukewarm hearts. Folks, I'm afraid that's where we're at. As God examines your heart this morning, is it lukewarm? You say, well, I don't know. Preacher, if I were to take a survey, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you, how many here can say I'm 100% hot on fire for God? Man, that's where I am. I like telling people about Jesus. I read my Bible and I pray and I like soul winning and I like going to church and I never miss a service. I'm on fire for God. How many of us could raise our hands? How many of us would say, well, you know, preacher, I gotta admit, I'm a little bit cold. My heart's a little bit cold. If you don't put yourself in one of those two categories, then you're lukewarm. And God says, I spew you out of my mouth. Hey, you can fool the preacher, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the bus workers. You can fool that person sitting right beside you in the pew. You didn't have to look at the screens. You got all the words memorized. You don't need a hymn book. Hey, it doesn't mean anything to a holy God when He looks at our hearts. And sees what's going on in there. Those who labor for the flesh and those who live for fame. It is the doctrine of self or ego. It is also the danger of self-promotion. The people noticed the works that Christ were doing and they wanted that power. And no doubt is following. Look at Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hey, these people that Jesus ran into were not the first ones to labor for fame, to labor in the flesh. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are not to labor for fame. We are not to labor for the flesh. We are to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also says it is the desire of signs or agnosticism. Look in verse 30. The Bible says, "Then they said they therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work?" The people were desiring a sign. They said, "We'll believe it if you can prove it to us." The Bible says we are more blessed when we have faith and believe what we have not seen. Faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, is evidence of things not seen. Hey, I wonder today, did you come to church and say, "Hey, prove something to me, preacher. I've heard all about this God. I've heard all about this Jesus Christ." Listen, friends, there's a lost and dying world out there that's looking for us to prove it to them. Now, that may not be right. You say, "Well, that's not biblical. They have to have faith." But listen, they're looking at your life and they're seeing, hey, when things get tough, when somebody's going through a cancer battle, somebody's struggling with their health, or somebody's losing a loved one to death, and they're looking at you and they're wondering, "Is Jesus real?" These people gathered around and they said, "Show us a sign." God could see their hearts. The fact that they needed a sign tells us they weren't really saved at all. They hadn't yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see not only the nature of man, I want you to see the nourishment of the Master. The nourishment of the Master. It is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Look in verse 33, or verse 32. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." There's three things I want to tell you about the bread of life this morning, and we'll be done. First of all, its source. Its source. Verse 33, the Bible says, "For the bread of God is he which," what? "Cometh down from heaven." The bread of God belongs to God. This idea that we should trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior came from heaven. This was God's idea. When Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but by me." Hey, that wasn't some prophet on this earth that was just making something up to get a following. That was a message from God above through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are to trust Him and only Him. You say, "Well, there's a lot of ways to heaven." If that were true, why did God let His Son die? Wouldn't you think there'd be some other thing He could do? If there was, He would. If there was any alternative, if there was some other way than shedding the blood of His Son on the cross of Calvary, He would have done that. But He is the bread of life, and He came from heaven. The Bible says in verse 50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." I want you to notice, secondly, not only its source, but its sustenance. In verse 33, the Bible says, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven," and look what it says, "and giveth life unto the world." Hey, does anybody know what the opposite of life is? Death. Now, that's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Life or death? Life or death? Heaven or hell? Choose. I think anybody in their right mind is going to choose life. The Bible says, "The bread of heaven which giveth life." Look, if you will, in verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." This nourishment that it supplies is it supplies heaven. The second thing we see about its sustenance, or what does it supply, it silences hell. Look at verse 50 with me. The Bible says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof." And what are those next three words? "And not die." Hey, it's just as simple. Eat the bread of life and have eternal life in heaven with God, but you don't take of this bread of life and you die and go to hell. I'm so thankful today the Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to supply heaven and also to silence hell.
But if you're a child of God today, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Friends, you need to listen to this. Here's the third thing that it gives us in sustenance. It suppresses hunger. It suppresses hunger. Let me outline that for you. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you know what that implies? That if you don't come to Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hunger. And you're going to thirst. How many of you today that know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior can say, before I got saved, I had a void in my life. I had a hunger for something. I didn't know what it was. There was something missing, and I found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I took of that bread of life, it filled that hunger. Let me say this. Because that hunger was filled, now listen, our appetite should have changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our appetite should have changed. In other words, those things that we hungered for before, the things that we were trying to fill that void, the things that we were trying to use to take care of that need that we had in our lives, hey, that ought to change. If you were drinking before and you were thinking, boy, that'll take care of, wipe away the memories, that'll take care of the bad things. Hey, you don't need alcohol to do that. You have the peace that passes understanding. You have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit living within your heart. You have a brand new life in Christ. Behold, all things are passed away and all things have become new. You're a new child of God. You don't need that anymore. You don't need those drugs. Hey, you don't need that stuff. You don't need that immorality. Listen, that's stuff that used to take care of your appetite and used to fill that hunger and fill that void. But listen, it was just a meat that perisheth. But if you'll come and take of the bread of life, and I'm talking to the child of God now, there ought to have been a change in your life. Your appetite should have shifted. You say, well, I'm still feasting on some of those old things. Hey, you need to get rid of them. You need to start feeding yourself on some good things. And get some good music in your home. Don't listen to that garbage music. That'll fill your head and fill your soul and mess you up. Get good music in your home. Get into the Word of God. Hey, them soap operas and romance novels and all that garbage. Hey, get into the Word of God. Feast on that. Somebody said this, I think it's pretty good. Get off Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen? Now, I understand social media can be a tool. I get quotes from pastors all the time, and sometimes I'll retweet them because I think they said something good that can help you folks, or put a scripture on there, or announce a special meeting that's coming up. But listen, I'm not interested in putting pictures up there and immorality up there and stuff that's going to hurt people. Listen, that stuff's just garbage. Be careful of that if you're on social media at all. Be very careful of all those things. Get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen? There ought to be a change in our lives. Our appetite should have changed. I want you to see this nourishment. We see its source, we see its sustenance, and finally, we see its seriousness. And this is important stuff. Look what it says in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove again among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Listen, let's just stop there for a minute. Do you think Lord Jesus Christ was literally saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood? Of course not. As a matter of fact, the law forbid people to drink blood. And Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. This wasn't literal. He wasn't telling them to... Listen, if it were literal, we'd all be lost and going to hell because we don't have His flesh and His blood today. That's a Roman Catholic doctrine, that transubstantiation. They believe when they take the wafer and they put it on the tongue, when the priest blesses and put it on the tongue, it literally turns to the body of Christ. And when they drink that little cup of probably real wine, they drink that stuff and it turns to the blood of Christ.
Hey, we don't believe in the mystical stuff that goes on there. The Lord Jesus Christ was simply saying this: you need to consume me thoroughly. This isn't just a part-time thing. You need to take it all in. I'm the bread of life. Hey, I don't want a halfway commitment. I don't want people going part way. You need to consume me. Do you remember back in the Exodus when they took that little lamb and they roasted him that night and they were all to eat that lamb with bitter herbs? The Bible says, I want you to eat everything. You couldn't just eat a part of it. If you can't eat it all, share it with your neighbor. Get some other people over in your house and make sure you consume all of it. It was a picture for us today to understand we need to take all of Jesus. He is the bread of life. If you don't, you're going to keep hungering. Only He can fill that void. Read on, verse 59. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. So many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? One of the hardest things a Christian ever does is give himself 100% to God. Surrender is a hard thing. Ladies, can I tell you a secret? The Bible says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You say, oh, that's hard. You know, your husbands are to submit to the Lord 100% the same way. You understand that as much as you battle to submit yourself to your husbands are battling to submit themselves to the Lord. God didn't do that to make anybody inferior or feel less. He did it to show us the pattern God has for our lives, a submission to Him and His will for us. You need to pray. You need to pray for your husbands that they submit their home to the Lord. They submit themselves to the Lord, that they might be the father and the husband that they need to be. It's a difficult thing to submit. And these disciples said, this is hard. And many turned away when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured. He said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. He wasn't talking literally, was He, about drinking blood and eating flesh? He says, no, these words are spirit. Catch this. Catch the spirit of this. This is a teaching time. That's what Jesus was saying. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walk no more with Him. Do you know who it was that went back? It was the ones who could not consummate the Lord Jesus Christ into life 100% fully. The ones that said, this is a hard saying. The ones that said, I don't know how I can submit 100%. I've got other things I've got to worry about. Listen, you submit 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll take care of all those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Trust Him. Seek Him first. Put Him first in your life. He is the bread of life. Can I show you something? Go back. We're done. In verse 34. The Lord Jesus Christ was going back and forth with these people. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you just trust me. Then they said, show us a sign. Jesus answered them again. In verse 44, they finally submitted. Some of them did, not all. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Something changed in their appetites, didn't it? They didn't say, hey, Jesus, you came for some physical bread. You liked that I fed you, didn't you? But later on, they're saying, no, we don't want that anymore. Give us this bread. This bread that you're talking about, this bread from heaven, this bread of eternal life, that's what we want. Hey, friends, it can only be found in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus, may I encourage you to trust Him before it's eternally too late. I know we're a little bit over our time this morning. I understand that. But I hope you'll understand that we don't want to leave here without giving somebody the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And maybe there's one that said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't have the bread of heaven. I don't have Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is to have eternal life. And would you pray with me? I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call out your name. Some of you were here last week and you raised your hand that you needed Jesus Christ. And maybe this entire week, the Holy Spirit's been pricking your heart. And bringing you closer to that decision. Could we help you today? Is there anyone? Just slip up their hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die, I don't know if I'd have eternal life." Amen. I see that hand. Is there another? Maybe there's some Christians here today say, "Preacher, you know, isn't it interesting how Jesus just looked at them and He knew exactly what their hearts were?" You can say like them, "God's been searching my heart this morning, and I've been laboring for the flesh, or I've been laboring for fame, or I haven't changed, my appetites haven't changed. I name the name of Christ, and I call myself a Christian, and I go to church, and I dress up and clean up, but I still got some of these old appetites I'm fighting with. Still involved in some things of the world." Friend, you need to let that stuff go and give yourself to Jesus Christ fully. Maybe there's some here today say, "Preacher, I need to submit 100% today to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Where He leads me, I will follow. Whatever He asks me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to surrender 100% today and see what God won't do with my life." We're going to have a hymn of invitation. If God has spoke to your heart in that way, would you step out and come? Would you come to this old-fashioned altar? Just move, do something. Pray where you are. But listen, friends, I think it's important that we show God we're serious about this. If we don't surrender ourselves 100% to Him, it is those types of people that turn back and follow Him no more. You don't want to be that one 5 years, 10 years from now. Let's stand to our feet this morning. This is, "I used to go to church, but now I don't even know if I'm saved." How would you answer the Lord on Judgment Day? Let's do business with God. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thanks for being here. We'll just forego announcements. Is there anything important for this afternoon that we need to have an announcement for? You want to give a testimony? Come on up. We'll give you a testimony. You can close in prayer. How's that? All right. So make sure that you visit with our guests today. We're so glad to have some preachers and missionaries from out of town. Make sure you let them know that you're praying for them. Encourage them in some way if you could. And also congratulate the Bakers. We're excited for them. Pray for them. Would you do that?
Us to that conference, it really touched my heart. I was reading last night on the iPad about men that were atheists that died without the Lord and the last words that they said. And I just want to read to you one quote. David Hume, an atheist philosopher, famous for his philosophy on epicurism and skepticism of religion. He cried loud on his deathbed,
I am in flames. It is said his desperation was so a horrible scene. And as I read these testimonies of these men that died without Jesus, I was troubled in my spirit. I couldn't sleep. These men that are dying without Jesus, going to a Christless eternity, this man felt he was on fire. I said, "Oh God, give me some peace, please." And I prayed for probably an hour. And you know the peace of God that comes upon your heart? Well, that peace came upon me. I can pray sometimes 3-4 hours before that peace will come. Like all of a sudden that peace will come. And just wonderful peace of God that comes upon your heart. I said, "Oh God, I need that peace tonight." Reading these things that these men said on their dying bed. Oh, we need to have a heart for the lost. How's your heart today? Pastor talked about how is your heart today? Do you have a tender heart for Jesus? For the lost? We're saved. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message this morning, the bread of life. And Lord, we'll never die. We'll just pass from here on to eternity. But those that don't know you, Lord, they'll die in a Christless eternity, burning forever. And Lord, you allowed these men to have this last word as they slipped into hell, the very flames of hell upon them. That we might hear it, Lord. And I know, Lord, the devil's kept these testimonies from me for years. I've wanted to hear these testimonies of these men, but Satan doesn't want us to hear the truth. I maybe had a reason for that too, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one here bowed in your presence. May we have a good day serving you and rejoicing. May we give the gospel out today, Lord, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That souls might be saved, I pray, Lord, for our next program. Thank you for the opportunity to go out and knock on doors this week, this last week, and this future week, Lord. Bless these dear missionary families, Lord, the Dobbs and Roberts and Buckinghams and this other man and his family, Lord. And pray for Amanda and Calvin, Lord. What a blessing. Jesus, oh, what a blessing they've been to me this week, Lord. Well, dismiss us with your blessing, Lord.